Hi folks, this is Tony for the A Minute to Midnight show, coming to you at the moment from Pennsylvania in the USA. And there's a few things I want to cover that I think are pretty important in this video, so bear with me, it's going to take you on a bit of a journey. First of all, I want to mention but not spend a lot of time on the Donald Trump trial. Okay, so he's been found guilty, but guilty of what crime? No one really seems to know. Does it not seem strange? I'm no supporter of Trump, but to me, it is very obvious that the left-leaning Biden-supporting judges and prosecutor and the Manhattan, likely Democrat-leaning jury had it in for Donald Trump all the way, guilty or not. They would look to invent any way able to convict him. We've seen this going on for years. Not saying I agree with Trump at all, but weaponizing the courts is terrible whatever side of the political divide someone finds himself on. Far worse crimes have been done by many others that never get prosecuted, and this was obviously politically driven. Almost anyone with half a brain should be able to see that. But this now plays totally into the hands of the Hegelian dialectic elites. Trump is playing the victim and vowing revenge and using names like the Soros-funded prosecutor, which is designed to immediately inflame anger in any conservative, since most conservatives and those of us that know anything know that Soros is an absolute bad egg. The left is salivating that they have Trump now as a felon, and the right is angry because they can see this was politically driven all the way. No impartiality at all. But Trump is also cleverly playing his victim role too, and ensuring that a left versus right divide occurs. And Biden and the Democrats are playing their roles in being left-wing gophers for the global elite. The end result is this, and there will be more of it, division and chaos to come. It suits the New World Order elites totally. I believe Biden and Trump are both basically politically driven puppets of the Hegelian dialectic divide. And if Trump goes to jail, and he quite likely will, this will cause massive chaos and anger. And this is exactly what the global elite want. The best way to destroy the US is from within. And most of the population are facilitating this. And in the US, for the most part, you're either a CNN brainwashed leftist or a Fox brainwashed rightist, watching news 24/7 and believing the brainwashing that the left or right wings of the Phoenix are selling you. It's very cleverly done, and the USA, I think, is stuffed, but so is the rest of the world at this point. Appearing on Fox Business, Senator Rand Paul said, "I worry about strife, I worry about war in the streets, I worry about 50% of the public believing that the court system will be used against them. I worry when half the country thinks they won't be treated fairly, what happens and how people react." And in many ways that's fair comment. So that's what I'm going to leave off now on the Trump thing and move on to something else that I think is important. The 77th World Health Assembly update from June 1st, 2024. This is from The Who. World Health Assembly agreement reached on wide-ranging decisive package of amendments to improve the international health regulations and sets dates for finalising negotiations on a proposed pandemic agreement. In a historic development, the World Health Assembly, the annual meeting of the World Health Organization's 194 member countries, today agreed on a package of critical amendments to the International Health Regulations 2005 and made concrete commitments to completing negotiations on a global pandemic agreement within a year at least. Now listen to this. The package of amendments to the regulations will strengthen global preparedness, surveillance, and responses to public health emergencies, including pandemics. So that word surveillance should give you the creeps. Well, the director, Tedros, the WHO Director General's remarks. at the media briefing at the close of the 77th World Assembly were this. And although the pandemic agreement has not yet been finalised, the Health Assembly has charted the way forward. It has agreed to extend the mandate of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body to finalise negotiations on the pandemic treaty, or not treaty, sorry, agreement as soon as possible and by the next year's World Health Organization Assembly at the latest. So that's again found at the WHO. Here's an interesting sum up of it from James Rogoski. Amendments to international health regulations have been adopted. We, the people, have suffered a stunning defeat. In typical fashion, the globalists let us think we had scored a win, and then just as conservatives were celebrating, they heaped a dose of reality on our heads. Rogoski further states, unfortunately, this is an enormous loss for we, the people, and a substantial victory for the evil forces that support the system of pharmacia. The recently adopted amendments will facilitate an enormous global build-up of pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex, which seeks to trigger ongoing pandemic emergencies that will be made even worse by relevant health products. And former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who has also closely followed the negotiating process at the WHO Assembly, had this to say in an email alert. The amended rules were adopted the last day of the meeting, that was June 1st, in Geneva, Switzerland. A meeting is scheduled for July 2024 to pass the Global Pandemic Treaty. The organisation violated the international rules and created this monster behind closed doors, zero transparency. The bottom line is the WHO changes from a global advisory-only body to an international enforcer of its mandates. They've given themselves power over a global digital ID and the power to mandate vaccines and enforce those mandates specifically with regard to international travel. Global surveillance starts now. On the A Minute to Midnight website, I've reproduced an article with the permission of Rob Pugh from WisconsinChristianNews.com. And that's worth reading. It's called Yearning for the Good Old COVID Years. I'll just read a little wee bit of that article. Yet we saw what happened when the CDC, the WHO, Tony Fauci and company, and our various current and former government agencies simply ruled with no lawful authority to do so, that the US must lock down, wear a mask, get tested or get a jab or lose your job, or even lose your children. Despite deliberate disinformation from Tedros and others, the signing of such an agreement would indeed require all nations to follow WHO dictates and mandates. And in the latest version of the WHO's pandemic accord, it clearly states that any nation that signs on to this cannot simply change their mind. They must follow the accord's dictates for 2 years before they can submit their desire to withdraw in writing and then continue to follow the mandates for another year before they're released. That sounds terrible. Now, you can read the rest of that article at aminutetomidnight.com. So, folks, from there, I want to mention that Holly and I met in New York, and we spent a day and a half in New York. Quite frankly, it was nice to see a little bit, but I was also glad to get out of New York pretty rapidly after that. So there are some things I now want to cover which deal with New York and how New York fits in with the global beast in many ways. I think some of it you will find pretty eye-opening. So here we go.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, it is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
But it's everywhere. Here we can see an eye in a traffic island on the Avenue of the Stars in Los Angeles. And it's right next to the Century Plaza Towers, which you can see are actually two pyramid-shaped buildings, tip to tip, in an as-above-so-below formation, and between them There is a third pyramid, which actually is more like a Masonic square and compass. You can see another eye there on the top of a third building as well. So here you go. Very much a design, three pyramids, as above, so below, with a Masonic compass and an eye, the all-seeing eye. So we have the pyramids associated with the all-seeing eye, and this is Century Plaza, the Century Plaza Towers in Los Angeles. The Twin Towers at Century Plaza were obviously inspired by the Illuminati or Masons, and they were designed by internationally acclaimed architect Minoru Yamazaki. Here we have a 1967 edition of Newsweek with a picture of David Rockefeller right where the Twin Towers would be, and note, new era in banking and 9/11 on his watch. The Twin World Trade Center towers that were destroyed in September 2001 were also designed by Minoru Yamazaki. So it's pretty interesting to note that the same man that designed the Century City Plaza with its Masonic or Illuminati influence also designed the World Trade Center. The towers that were destroyed have been replaced by a building known as One World Trade Center. The final height of that skyscraper is 1776 feet. A deliberate reference to the year when the United States Declaration of Independence was signed. But also take note that 1776 was the year that the Illuminati was founded. Now look at this. When viewed from a distance, the One World Trade Center appears to be like an obelisk, but when you view it from the ground directly below it, hello, it's shaped like a pyramid. And it gets even more interesting when we see the oculus below it.
We brought it back, we built it even higher than it was before.
So yes, they rebuilt the World Trade Center taller than before, only this time it's a One World Trade Center, one world in mind. And what's the oculus I just mentioned? An oculus is an architectural term and it defines a round or eye-like opening or design. And this is exactly what we see in the World Trade Center Transport Hub Oculus. The Oculus was built to maximize the effect of autumnal equinox rays coinciding with the skylight opening on or around September 11th each year. So to put that another way, the eye of the Oculus will be opened around about September 11th every year. And incidentally, by the way, the architect of the Oculus, Santiago Calatrava, has designed other buildings that are shaped like eyes around the world as well. So what's with this eye and the pyramid and all this ancient Egyptian stuff anyway? Is it coincidence that there are 13 rows of steps on the pyramid on the American dollar, 13 letters in Anuit Coptuus, and 13 characters in Novus Ordo Seclorum? The powers that be are followers of the ancient mystery schools in which dualism and as above so below and equals and opposites are central and are integral with their plans for the New World Order, a Luciferian New World Order ultimately. Now, it's important to note that, as well as Minoru Yamazaki, who was the architect of the Twin Towers, two big players in the driving force behind the building of the Twin Towers were David and Nelson Rockefeller, the brothers who championed their construction. David as chairman of the Chase Manhattan Bank and founder of the Downtown Lower Manhattan Association, and Nelson as the governor of New York. It was in 1960 that the Downtown Group recommended the development of the World Trade Center. The Twin Towers were actually nicknamed David and Nelson. David Rockefeller originated the idea for them, and Nelson, as governor of New York, signed the legislation that made it possible for them to be built. Now remember the 9/11 on David's watch? You be the judge whether it's coincidental or not. But it's certainly a big coincidence if it was. Now remember how the Twin Towers designed by Yamazaki were demolished by supposed Saudi terrorists with a leader by the name of Osama bin Laden. Now if we look at Yamazaki's original design, he had designed the Saudi Arabian International Airport along with the Saudi bin Laden group, and he incorporated features of Arabic architecture into the design of the World Trade Center. The plaza was modeled after Mecca, incorporating features found in Mecca. Yamazaki described the plaza as a Mecca, a great relief from the narrow streets and sidewalks of the Wall Street area. He also incorporated other Arabic features into the building design. So isn't that really interesting that the World Trade Center was supposedly designed with Arabic designs, and Yamazaki had associations with the bin Laden group, and it was a bin Laden that supposedly was the terrorist behind the destruction of the Twin Towers.
But this persistent window and this present window of opportunity during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be here for open for too long. Already there are powerful forces at work that threaten to destroy all of our hopes and efforts to erect an enduring structure of global cooperation.
I'm here at a moment when the opportunity to build a constructive, peaceful world order is very great.
Do you notice there how in 1995 David Rockefeller used the term peaceful and interdependent world order? And then in 2017, Henry Kissinger is talking about a peaceful world order.
Ironically, however, the very innovations that are making possible dramatic improvements in human well-being are also creating new problems which raise the specter of an alarming and possibly catastrophic disaster to the biosphere we live in. The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
This is pieces of an interview with filmmaker Aaron Russo speaking with Alex Jones a few years ago. Aaron died not too long after this interview was aired.
So the ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one-world government run by the banking industry, run by the bankers, where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips. Right, there'll be no more cash. And this is getting me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip. I met Rockefeller through a female attorney I knew. He's the one who told me 11 months before 9/11 ever happened that there was going to be an event. Never told me what the event was going to be, but there was going to be an event, and out of that event, we were going to invade Afghanistan to run pipelines from the Caspian Sea. We were going to invade Iraq, you know, to take over the oil fields, establish a base in the Middle East, and make it all part of the New World Order. And we'd go after Chavez in Venezuela. He used to come to my house a lot. We'd have dinner, we'd talk, and he'd tell me about business investments, how you get involved in, you know, or they would help me with this business investment or that business investment. And was I interested in joining the Council on Foreign Relations? I used to say to him, what's the point of all this? You have all the money in the world you need. You have all the power you need. What's the point? You know, what's the end goal? And he said the end goal is to get everybody chipped, to control the whole society, to have the bankers, the elite people, you know, the bankers and some governor controlling the world.
The land on which the United Nations sits in New York was originally donated by the Rockefellers. John D. Rockefeller offered an 18-acre site in what was known as Turtle Bay, and the city of New York also donated some additional ground to Rockefeller's gift. So that is how the United Nations became to be where it is. It was a gift from the Rockefellers and from New York City. The Lucius Trust and the New Age movement has had influence at the United Nations since it was formed. In the books that were written by Alice A. Bailey that were supposedly channeled to her by the Ascended Master DK, which I believe was a fallen angel or a demonic being, she lays out blueprints for the New World Order. The books are full of the blueprint for the New World Order and New World Servers. And you will see through the quotes of politicians that they basically back up what Alice A. Bailey had written. The whole gist of the books is about teaching people how to serve the plan of these so-called ascended masters through the New World Order. Firstly, let's listen to Dr. Henry Kissinger espousing the New World Order.
Many people now think that the period between 1945 and 1950 was in many ways the most creative period one of the most creative periods of American foreign policy. But it started with chaos and fear of Russian invasion of Europe and governments that were very weak and people who were very
poor. The United Nations came out of that, the Marshall Plan came out of that.
That's right, and NATO came out of that,
and later Truman Doctrine came out of that later.
Right. There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world. I want to make one point about globalization. It's always discussed in economic terms that everybody is better off, but that is only partially true. Everybody is better off on the average, but in some countries or in some regions, people lose their jobs. Major adjustments have to be made. That's the engine of globalization. The people who are disadvantaged by the process look to their governments for solutions. But the governments are national and the problem is global. So how to bring about a relationship between the desirable process of globalization and its impact on the politics that we have to bring about together with other countries? A different consciousness of what a world order is.
Notice there how Henry Kissinger talks about bringing everyone to a new consciousness of what a world order should be. That is very much New Age and occult kind of talk, and it fits in with Bailey's philosophies. For example, in her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, on page 29, it says here, the spiritual hierarchy will then work largely through the world scientists who, being by that time convinced of the factual reality of the soul and wise in the use of the forces of the soul and of nature, will constitute a linking body of occultists. Now back in that same book, on pages 101 to 103, Alice A. Bailey outlines 9 steps towards the New World Order. And it's quite plainly that she mentions the word New World Order and in the 9 steps that are there. At the beginning of those 9 steps, she says certain major and spiritual premises should lie back of all efforts to formulate the New World Order. And she outlines the 9 steps. And they include the world passing through a destructive era and crisis, and being after a time of recovery, of reconstruction and rebuilding. The Arcane School, which was founded by the Baileys, that's part of the Lucius Trust today, according to John Michael Greer's New Encyclopedia of the Occult, states that the school seeks to develop a new group of world servers to accomplish the work of the hierarchy of masters under the guidance of its head, the Christ.
Basically, folks, these people believe that the Christ is heading the spiritual hierarchy, these ascended masters who are spiritual beings, and they are leading everyone through meditation and study. The divine energy is transmitted to humanity and raises humanity's spiritual awareness. Bailey believed that all religions originate from the same source and that all humanity will eventually come to realize this, and when they do, the result will be the emergence of a universal world religion and a new world order. Now listen carefully to this. This is in another of Bailey's books called Esoteric Psychology Volume 1, and it's found on page 4. It says here, "We see the plan," again in a capital P for plan, "as it unfolds for a series of lives ahead, and we are today seeking those who can be taught to work in group formation and who can constitute one of the active units in the vast happenings that lie ahead." Listen to this. "Connected with that 2/3 of humanity who will stand upon the path at the close of the age, with that 1/3 who will be held over for later unfoldment. We are training men and women everywhere so that they can be sensitive to the plan, sensitive to their group vibration, and thus able to cooperate intelligently with the unfolding purpose." Now listen to that compared with George Bush Sr.'s, one of his New World Order speeches.
"Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge, a new era. And today that new world is struggling to be born, a world quite different from the one we've known."
And notice in this speech, which I think is one of the creepiest speeches I've ever heard, where George Bush Sr. talks about how they will be successful. And who is they? The servers of the plan, the Luciferians, of which Bush was one.
"We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders."
And in this next piece, George Bush Sr. talks about the universal aspirations of mankind. That may as well have come straight out of an Alice Bailey book.
"A new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind."
Now listen to this, folks, as I read you some more from Alice Bailey. This one is from Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1, page 89. It says here, "In a treatise on white magic, I outlined one of the first steps taken by the hierarchy in the work of inaugurating the new plan. This plan was tentatively formed in 1900 at one of the great quarterly meetings of the hierarchy. In 1925, at the next great meeting for cooperation, the new plan was discussed in greater detail. Certain necessary changes growing out of the result of the World War were negotiated, and the members of that important council determined two things. First, that there should be a unified effort by the collective members of the planetary hierarchy over a period of several years, that is, until 1950, to bring about certain definite results, and that during that time the attention of the Great Ones should be turned towards a definite attempt to expand the consciousness of humanity and to institute a sort of forcing process so that men's horizons of thought would be tremendously enlarged and their faith, assurance, and knowledge be equally increased and strengthened."
Now you have on the one extreme globalization, in which the nation is weakened. On the other extreme, you have religion. Then in between, you still have traditional states. And how you can get an international system in a world that is states and all these other movements, that is bound to produce problems. We might actually witness the creation of a new order, because people looking in the abyss, even in
looking
the,
in the abyss,
even
right
in the abyss, even in the Islamic world, have to conclude that at some point, ordered expectations must return under a different system.
Through the COVID-19 pandemic and the financial crash that's happening as a result, we are seeing the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the WHO, governments around the world, all pushing us into this globalist new world order. It's the perfect crisis, a manufactured crisis that is needed to bring the chaos, for them to bring order from that chaos and bring us into the new world order with its contract tracing and its restrictions and all that is going along with it. The perfect crisis, the perfect chaos for the new world order solution. In a side room off from the main lobby at the United Nations headquarters in New York is a black altar situated in a meditation room. The altar is made of iron ore and it is called the Stone of Light. The meditation room first opened on October 14th, 1952. Meditations are held at the United Nations headquarters a couple of times per week. Additionally, a minute of silence, prayer or meditation is observed at the beginning of the UN General Assembly. Now, here is a quote from the newsletter of the Aquarian Age community. As with any truly occult or spiritual symbol, this room represents more than meets the eye. It is replete with significant symbols, and the numerology, astrology, and sacred geometry are all a part of this very small room, radiate their own silent but powerful spiritual vibrations, invoking the soul of those who seek to work through this organization for the benefit of humanity and the planet. And maintained by the Luciferian organization known as the Lucius Trust. The Rockefellers had a big part to play in the raising of the funds for this room and for its renovation. Now, this is the chamber where the Security Council meets. And on the wall you will find a very large painting. There are other people who have undertaken to describe what they believe the significance of each aspect of the painting is. I'm not going to go there today, except to say, look, in the middle you have a phoenix that is shedding its skin, basically, and it looks very much like Lucifer to me, that phoenix. And I have covered the phoenix in other videos, so I'm not going to go into detail about it here, but again, it's a very occultic Luciferian concept. It should be noted that the Lucius Trust is very involved in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, it says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." See, that is what Lucifer, I believe, already is doing. He's replacing God. He's replacing Jesus through the New Age movement and the Luciferians, and he is placing himself as God. The ultimate coup would be if he can get all of humanity to worship him as the replacement for God. So I want to show you why I think that is a distinct possibility, that the one world religion will end up being a worshipping of Lucifer, and that they will know exactly who they're worshipping. Lucifer, or Satan, will give his power to the beast, and ultimately, because he's such a narcissist, he will want the worship for himself through the beast. And so the global religion, I believe, will be one that actually worships Lucifer. So folks, obviously, as Christians, we do not want to submit to the New World Order, and we certainly will not take the mark of the beast when that comes in. And so our only answer is to trust in God, trust in the Lord Jesus, and give our lives totally to him. So that's pretty much all I wanted to cover in this video.
Please remember to subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, and remember that we are run 100% by donations, and the people that do help through donating are always greatly appreciated, and the music used in the show is all written, played and recorded by me. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back in a few days' time.